The Burt Show.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Yesterday, we had a little bit of a scare last night. So I hear Bart downstairs, and this was like right before Jimmy was finishing his cold yogurt before he goes upstairs and goes to bed. And I hear Bart go in a calm but stressed voice, "Kristen, come down here. Fast." And so I hop out of bed and I run downstairs, and as I'm walking or like jogging down the stairs, there he is crouched on the ground. And the first thing I thought is, oh my God, his knee gave out on him. Cause it turns out he has two tears in his meniscus. Eesh. All right.
When did those happen and how did those happen?
I have no idea, but I think it's because he works on his knees so much doing home repairs and like things like that.
Yeah.
So I have no idea. Anyway, so my first thought is, oh my God, something happened to his knee. But then I was like, but he wouldn't be laying like that because he was literally in the fetal position, like all like jammed together. And I'm like, he'd probably have his leg like laid out. So my head's thinking all this in the span of me running down the stairs. And then I was like, oh my God, he's having a heart attack. Like it's, and then I get down the stairs and he goes, I caught a lizard.
I caught a lizard.
Inside the house?
Yes.
I mean, that'll happen from time to time.
Yeah, we have these little geckos that live in the wall. Or I don't know if they're geckos, but they're like these little tiny lizards.
Little Komodo dragons.
You say this as if this is normal. Oh, yeah, we just have like a family, a small farm of geckos, and they live in our walls, and sometimes they escape.
It's not inside the house, outside the house.
Oh, outside the house. Outside, okay, the house. I'm like, outside makes sense. Inside, I'm like, yeah. This is a Pixar movie.
They're inside all the time. Like, there are so many geckos at our house that the previous owners literally carved them into the walkway. Like, we have, like, little etchings of geckos everywhere.
It's normal. Horrified.
Yeah, so these little lizards, and we have, like, a bright blue one and a green one, and we got several of them that are living in, like, the stone wall outside around the gardens, right? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, what do you want me to do? So he's sitting there with his handcuffs on the floor with the lizard in there. Jimmy's at his desk, and he's, like, refusing to get out of his desk. He's like, I'm not stepping on the floor. And so he goes, run and go get a solo cup. And I was like, okay. So I run to the cabinet, and I get a solo cup, and it's like, boop, 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 boop. Like, I'm running too fast, and stuff is flying everywhere. And so I grab the solo cup, and I hand it to him, and I'm like, make sure you don't let it loose. And so he's got his hand, and I'm looking, and it's the tiniest little brown lizard. And I'm like, how did you see that? And of course, Willie, our giant 140-pound dog, is like, like ready to eat the thing. And
creating
I'm like,
havoc over this little itty bitty thing.
It's like snack time.
So I didn't do anything. Bart gets the solo cup over the lizard. And then I'm like, okay, now what? He gets like, go get me a sheet of paper. So I go get a sheet of paper, but the only sheet of paper I can find is some of Jimmy's art. And Jimmy's like, I made that for dinner. And so, so we slide it underneath the cup. But then we still need something firmer, so I had to find something firmer. And I'm like, so help me if you let that lizard go. But success. We got the teeny tiny brown lizard outside. My husband did not do another tear in his meniscus, nor did he have a heart attack, but he about gave me one.
Thank God. Thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God. The gecko is okay.
The gecko is fine.
All right. How you doing, Abby?
I'm doing good. Yesterday was a big day because I officially applied for my LLC for that company I'm starting because I'm an adult and I can do things like that.
Uh-huh.
I don't like it. I am starting to call myself a reluctant girl boss because all of it is big and scaly and I don't like it. I was supposed to be an ornament to society by this point in time. And here I am filing for an LLC, speaking to attorneys and trying to start something, which I don't like. If you don't know why I'm starting an LLC, I'm going to start this whole like travel business thing and see if that's a fun thing to do in my free time and see if that takes off. And I'm planning my first little shtick for December. We're going to go to Scotland.
Oh, you're going to Scotland?
Yeah.
You're going to the Highlands?
We're just going to do some Christmas markets and we're just going to drink wine and bop around and watch Christmas movies. And it's going to be full of girlhood and frivolity.
Edinburgh, Glasgow, where are you going?
We're going to stay in Edinburgh. Cool. And I haven't made like I guess I did make official plans yesterday. So we're going to stay in Edinburgh for four nights, 5 days, and then we'll take like little day trips out to other smaller parts of Scotland, like St. Andrews and then Glasgow, but probably spend the majority of time in Edinburgh.
Cool.
I'm going to help all of you out right now. It is not Edinburgh.
It's
Edinburgh.
It's Edinburgh.
Edinburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Edinburgh.
If you say borough, not only will they know you are a tourist, but they will ridicule you inside their minds forever. Edinburgh.
Can I say Edinburgh?
No.
If you want to die.
I don't think it's that violent. You'll be all right.
That's the street I grew up on.
Edinburgh?
Yeah.
Is that, really? Is that by, what is it, Paris, Kentucky?
Yeah, because we, no, Versailles.
Versailles, that's the one. Oh my God, it drives me nuts.
There's a Versailles, Kentucky, and I grew up on Edinburgh Drive.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Nicole Kidman officially filed for divorce from Keith Urban yesterday, and there's a lot of really good tea in it. And by tea, I mean like the kinds of things that you only think about if you're nosy about celebrities like we are. For example, in the filings, it does tell us how much Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban make per month, because of course they have to sort out like whether or not they're going to have alimony, blah, blah, blah. Do you guys want to guess how much they make per month?
Together.
Separately. So it says both of their salaries separately. They make the same amount, allegedly, but per month, how much do each of these superstars make?
Man, she is in so many movies, and I don't really follow his career all that much because country's not my thing, but I gotta believe she's making $5 million a month?
Okay.
Oh, okay. You went a lot higher. I was going to say 800,000.
800,000? You guys are both way out of line. Now, I don't know if they have most of their money in like stocks or something, because obviously these are two very wealthy human beings. But in the divorce filings, according to eonline.com, both Nicole and Keith are listed as having a monthly income of $100,000 each, which felt low to me. So I'm not surprised that you guys thought it was higher than that. But I wonder if maybe they have most of their money in properties or investments, or maybe they're lying. I don't know.
I mean, it's still a tremendous amount of money. I mean, that puts you in the top 1%, but celebrity-wise, you would think it was much more than that.
Yeah, well, Nicole's been in like 50 films in the last year. That's why it's weird.
But that was her income when she was doing those movies. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if they don't have any projects going on right now, if he's not on tour selling tickets, if he's not selling an album, if she's not currently doing a movie and getting paid or whatever, like I feel like that must be like passive income that's coming in and hasn't been those paychecks over the past couple of years from those big movies, because that wouldn't be factored in to their yearly income now, because that's past income.
So on a quick search, and you can't really believe these based on what we've done on ourselves, Kidman's net worth is estimated to be about $430 million. Keith Urban is $75 million total.
It makes sense why she filed for divorce. She's like, I got to get rid of this broke dude.
Broke 75 millionaire.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's still on tour, so he's clearly got to pay the bills somehow. But also in the divorce filings, it included a custody arrangement. So Nicole is seeking to be the primary residential parent. So they have two daughters, one named Sunday Rose, who is 17, and one whose name is Faith Margaret, who is 14. And they would, if it all goes according to Nicole's plan, they would spend 306 days per year with Nicole and 59 days out of the year with Keith, which, you know, it doesn't really seem like a fair trade-off. But if he's on tour, it makes a lot of sense. Like, I guess you just get all the days that he's at home while still factoring in the fact that he probably wants free time to himself. So it also touches on the fact about when they separated, because I think a lot of people were confused by this separation to begin with, because we saw them at the Golden Globes. They were very cozy, very affectionate. Looked like how they typically do. This is a couple that most people know to have a good romantic reputation, if you will. And so the article also says that the timeline of their separation starts in the summer of 2025. That's when they began living separately. Of course, they did have a couple of public moments throughout the summer, but this is when they're citing, I guess, the beginning of their separation and the start of this divorce.
Yeah, I think in common sense, also, when you have two celebrities that are married and they're not seen very often together in the public eye, you just assume they have different schedules. Like, you don't assume right off the bat that, hey, there's trouble in that marriage. You just assume he's on the road or whatever. But turns out there was trouble.
I know. Such a bummer.
The Burt Show.
It's all happening after the show today. It was all Kristen's brainchild.
It's what I do. Yep. But I learned it from you, Dad.
Yeah, I'm very impressed. One tear going down my cheek right now.
Bert's always taught me, how do you make it bigger? And that sounds creepy, but that was the lesson. The lessons I've learned from Bert Weiss over my 14-year tenure. One, don't F it up. Two, try easier. And three, find ways to make it bigger.
You never really listened to me on that first one.
Yeah, no, I do that daily. You know, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, Podge. All right, so today after the show, we have Sarah Witherington coming in to take a photo of the Burt Show staff holding babies, and all of us, babies and us, will be wearing diapers. Why? Why, you ask, are you taking photos of yourself wearing diapers? Because you're going to see our diapered butts up on a billboard because we met our 75,000 diaper goal for the Helping Mamas Fill the Warehouse Drive.
Thank you, Kimberly Clark.
Yes. I do have a brand new total, by the way.
Really?
Yes, I do. All right. So, yes, I have been partnering with Helping Mamas for a long time, as has Cassie. We love them. They're the Baby Bank Supply of Georgia. And they are on the struggle bus right now when it comes to diapers. They do this every September. It's a Fill the Warehouse Drive. This year, they were in dire straits. All right. So they actually hit me up saying, hey, would you be willing to do a team again? Because 2 years ago, we did this, collected over 50,000 diapers.
Ironically, they were in an S load of trouble.
So they hit us up. And of course, we created a Burt Show team. I happen to have a friend that works for Kimberly Clark, and they represent Huggies and conveniently Depends, which is what we're going to be wearing today. So she was like, hey, I heard your push for diapers. Kimberly Clark, who represents Huggies, would like to donate 70,000 diapers. And that was amazing because we were coming shy of our goal. And this was completely 1,000% on us. We had been promoting the Avalon Noon Tonight for Burt's Big Adventure and just hadn't been able to give the diaper drive as much love as I wanted to. So Kimberly Clark swoops in. So that means we hit our mark. We're taking this photo after the show today. We got 13 P1 babies coming in, ranging in ages from 6 months to 18 months. They are so cute. I'm also setting up a little baby area in the conference room that we're doing this. So I brought blankets and toys to keep them occupied.
Can we do one of those baby races I see online all the time?
Sure.
Where you got like babies lined up on one side and then the moms are on their knees and you see who the fastest baby is to get the mom.
Those halftime shows at the NBA games with the babies.
Awesome.
Or college basketball games. Crack me up.
Awesome.
So if that tickles, sure, whatever.
Yes, that's my request.
All right, so there are 13 babies confirmed to be here today after the show as well, because, you know, the more the merrier. So we're all going to be holding diapered babies, wearing our adult diapers. But I hit up Stephanie from Helping Mamas last night. I said, hey, if there is a final tally for October 1st, I can share. That would be awesome. She's like, I can get that for you today. We are running final reports. And I said, perf. You guys, Burt Show listeners, I don't know if I've told you lately how much I love you, because it was a joke that, you know, hey, let's try to eclipse 100K, right? 102,260.
Yeah!
Heck yeah, brother.
That's awesome.
We got over, thanks to Kimberly.
Wow.
Yeah, thanks to Kimberly Clark's donation, we collected over 102,000 diapers.
So do we have to now go through, like, streaking through the streets of Atlanta? Because
no.
We got to 100,000. What now?
I know. Can I just give some perspective on that number? Like, we know 100,000 is a big deal, but if you did one diaper per baby, that's more people than can fit in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Oh. Wow. Huh?
Sold out seats. That can hold about 75,000 when it's expanded. So 25. So one and a third Mercedes-Benz stadiums worth of diapers that you guys raised.
That's a pretty good perspective right there. Wow.
So it was funny yesterday, you know, last night I'm taking my shower or whatever, and I was just trying to have like a nice, like just a nice relaxing shower. And then all of a sudden I was like, I gotta wear a diaper tomorrow. I gotta shave my legs. So I'm in the shower last night, shaving my legs because I have to wear a diaper for a billboard photo shoot.
I shaved mine this morning.
And I thought about getting a spray tan, but I was like, it's like,
how long is this billboard going up for?
Yeah, so it's for one day.
Yeah.
A singular day.
It's a 20, but the awesome, you think it's just going to go up in the billboard? No, we're sharing it on our socials. We're putting it on the website. But I was too tired to go get a spray tan. So I did shave my legs. and I will at least have that going for me in the billboard.
I don't think we have to worry about vanity in this picture. We're good to go.
Well, then this fool, Abby, by the way, you're welcome. Bert sends me this email yesterday.
No, remember, my memory is always a little bit on the shoddy side, right?
Uh-huh.
So here's how I remembered last year when we did it, right? I'll tell you who I was flashing back to was Tommy.
Yep, I knew it.
In my head, because I thought last year when we were in these diapers and we went on the billboard, all of us like were in bathing suits and I didn't have a shirt on. And I remember Tommy pridefully showing his stomach last year also. So we were supposed to be in t-shirts. And I'm like, why are we doing that?
Because I'm in coordinating and I sent like, hey, we're all going to be wearing matching Burt Show shirts and hitting up Cassidy, who's hitting up Jackson. Like, there's a lot of coordination behind the scenes that goes into something like this. And Burt hits me up yesterday afternoon. Did we all wear t-shirts last time? This kind of seems like a cop-out if we all wear t-shirts. If we didn't wear t-shirts last year, isn't the point of this bit to look ridiculous on a billboard?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to go in, let's go in.
And yeah, because you look totally ridiculous with your shirt off.
Yeah, we're going to stand in a bra and a diaper?
I thought that's what we did last year. Like, it felt edgier to me last year, and I'm like, if this is the last one.
Do you want to just show your chest on a billboard? You know we could just buy one for you.
Amanda wasn't really stoked about that either, so I'm glad it's kind of worked out this way.
Okay, one, it wasn't last year. It was actually 2 years ago.
Okay. Okay.
And I was like, yes, we wore t-shirts. They will be banded in the back to showcase the diaper. And then I had to send him the photo. I was like, this is the photo from last time. You see, every single person is wearing a t-shirt. Even Tommy, though he pulled it up to showcase the bullet.
That's literally the only part of the day that I remember is the trauma seeing Tommy with his half shirt.
So, Abby, we're only going to be wearing diapers. We're not going to have to be topless on this billboard as well.
Oh, thank God. Because I'm already never going to get a boyfriend after this hits the internet. So don't make it worse.
For the record, I was not suggesting topless.
Okay. The Bert Show.
So I got to meet Abby's cat, Lane Bryant, yesterday, which is pretty cool.
Stop. You guys are so mean. She's a teenage girl. She's just trying to figure it out. She's going through some changes.
This audio. Hey, Tommy, do you have this audio that I sent this morning from Florida A&M? So, man, this is going to go hand in hand with this. So this announcer for Florida A&M, he has been there for a really long time, and he's about to lose his job because Florida A&M was playing Alabama State this weekend, and Alabama has a plus-size dance team. This is not a joke. They're plus-size women that are very athletic, and they take themselves very seriously, and they kick ass, right? This dude, this is what he says over the speaker to introduce the plus-size dance team.
Congratulate them. They're now the new face of Ozempic.
Everybody in the stadium on both sides was so pissed.
I think he thought he was going to eat with that, and he did not.
No. They're called the Honeybees, and they're very, very good, right? And he made that joke and hadn't been fired yet, but I'm guessing that's coming today.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, if it didn't happen in the moment, the backlash that comes from that, once it goes viral, it's inevitable.
That's that. So let's talk about your cat here.
So my cat, I'm a little worried that I am descending into becoming an almond mom, which if you don't know what an almond mom is, it is a term used for the type of mom that monitors what their children eats like a drill sergeant. It is a mom that is typically known for just wanting their kids to be fit and skinny and little. And I had to catch myself the other day because I caught myself looking at my cat and going, oh my God, she's huge.
It does get out of hand fast. Like, I've looked at Franny some days and I'm like, when did that happen? But every day it happens. You just don't see it.
And I've gotten to the point where she'll start eating out of her bowl and I'm like, you don't need that. What are you doing? And I'll like push the bowl to the side and I'm like, save some for your sister, because I'm looking at Della, who's my other cat. I have two cats. I have Della, who's 6, and she's very lean and agile and, you know, very elegant. And then I have Betty. Betty's like 20 pounds of pure fluff and fat, apparently. She's 11 months old, and I'm starting to notice that I'm monitoring what she's eating, and I'm like, maybe my other cat's just real lean and thin boned, and that's just how she is. And maybe this is just how my other daughter is. She's just a little bit of a bigger, thicker woman, and I need to stop being paranoid about whether or not she's going to develop type 2 diabetes as a ragdoll cat.
I wonder if cats get...
Can cats have diabetes?
That's what I'm wondering.
I don't know, but if anybody's going to get it, it's my cat.
All right. So curious, what's the vet say?
Cats can have diabetes.
They can. Uh-huh. Okay. So what's the vet say?
I haven't asked. I have asked ChatGPT though.
Oh, of course.
So my almond mom asked, had to go straight to ChatGPT and go, is my cat too fat? So I asked those exact words to ChatGPT because I wanted to do, because I'm starting to get a little concerned because I'm like, is this just me fat shaming my 11th month old daughter? Or
that thing's only 11 months old?
Don't call it a thing.
That bowling ball's 11 months, man? What are you doing?
It's so cruel. She's 11 months. She turns 1 year old this month. I'm very excited for her. She's going to be a year old. And so I asked ChatGPT, how can I check to see if my cat is too big? Because, you know, I'm about to be unemployed. I can't really afford these vet bills. So I got to do an at-home check.
You may be eating that cat in February.
Stop. So is that why you're fattening her up?
She's got to get it while she can, Kristen. We're going to be eating Kirkland's cat. Both of us are going to be eating kibble come January and February when I've got to still pay rent. So I Google on ChatGPT, is my cat too fat? And it said you can do an at-home check to see if there's too much blubber on your baby. Mm-hmm. So the first thing it said is feel the sides of your cat and see if you can feel its ribs. And I grabbed both sides of Betty, who's my, I think, 20-pound cat. I don't really know. I'm just kind of going off vibes. And I grabbed both of her sides. And there's so much fur that I'm like, I can't tell what's fat, what's fur, and what's her ribs. So I just keep moving them back and forth. And her fat ass thinks this is a massage. And she just flops over. And she's like, rub my belly. And I'm just moving her fur back and forth. And I can just see her fat go back and forth and back and forth. Like it's the tides rolling in. And I'm like, I think I can feel a singular rib. So I'm going off the fact that she's a normal cat. She don't look normal. She looks like she could keel over at any second, but apparently, according to ChatGPT, she's a healthy weight.
She's beautiful. She is a stunningly beautiful cat. Like, I'm like, well, since you're going to be employed here, maybe you want to start putting this cat in, like, some kind of commercials or something because it's beautiful.
I'm going to turn her into the next catfluencer. We're going to start selling kibble on the internet. I'm going to put her in some kind of commercial because she got to do something with that beautiful plus-size body of hers. I got Betty because she looks kind of similar to my first cat. My first cat is white and gray, and she's real dainty, and she's these beautiful blue eyes, and I'm like, I'm gonna get a rag doll so she can kind of match. And so Betty is white and gray and has beautiful blue eyes, and God love her, but she looks like she looks like the before part of an Ozempic commercial. Like, Betty looks like the before and Della looks like the after. It's getting sad.
The Bert Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
Yahoo Entertainment is reporting that Jimmy Kimmel Live's ratings are in the crapper just days after a ratings spike following that very controversial joke he told about Republicans and the guy who shot Charlie Kirk. It was very controversial. The FCC actually suspended him for 6 days. And when he made his return, the ratings spiked to about 6.3 million. Viewers, which I think is like six times what he normally gets. I think he averages around like 1.5 million. And then a couple of days later, we saw a smaller drop. So it was around 2.2 million for the second day after he returned from his suspension. But just 48 hours later, it's being reported by Yahoo Entertainment that his ratings were only at 465,000 viewers for 2 days after that massive spike. So it looks like people are losing interest.
Yeah, I think we could have predicted this also. Mm-hmm. In our industry, they call it curiosity cume. When a new show goes on the air, you know something controversial is going to happen. You get a lot of ears and a lot of eyeballs to it. And then the real sort of definition of success is, what does it look like the next week? after the shock value is off, and clearly the people are speaking.
I hope we're still on good enough terms to know what our ratings are for this month. Like, people who are curious for the last month, like, how are we going to behave for the last 18 shows of The Burt Show? Like, are we tripling our numbers, or do people just really not care that much?
Yeah, either do I.
I'm not even listening back. Lionel Richie is coming out with a new memoir. It's going to be called Truly, and he is dropping some surprising lore about Michael Jackson. Now, you might want to clutch your pearls for this, because if you are a Michael Jackson fan, this might ruin every memory you have of him, everything you've ever thought about him, because Lionel Richie is exposing Michael Jackson for being smelly. So Lionel Richie is explaining in his new memoir, Truly, that he and Quincy Jones had nicknamed Michael, quote unquote, smelly, because he wouldn't wear deodorant or change or wash his clothes for days. In a quote, it says his day-to-day life was what you would call eccentric, like an absent-minded professor, but still a kid. We all have our quirks. Mm. Whenever Michael came to visit me, he was wearing whatever, jeans and a t-shirt, and the jeans were either falling off of him or too short to even be jeans, and well, smelly.
Now, this is coming from Lionel Richie, who way back in the day came in here. I interviewed Lionel Richie, and this was really cool. After the show, and again, this is like the first year we're doing The Burt Show, they invited me to go have lunch with Lionel Richie at the Four Seasons.
That's crazy.
Four Seasons.
Why?
I'm a couple of months into doing this, right? And Brian had set up the interview. And I told you guys about that interview yesterday when I made the mistake and Brian chewed me out in the hall, right? Mm-hmm. So they invite me to go to lunch with Lionel Richie. I don't know if he was just like, hey, this will give you motivation. Hey, you're doing a great job the first couple of months. Come have lunch with Lionel Richie. So I did. But on the way out, I literally said to Lionel Richie, because I'll never forget this, you are the most glorious smelling man I have ever smelt in my life. He has a team of people around him all day long that are constantly like putting makeup on and what do you call it?
Powder?
Yeah, powder, and just making sure that he looks great. He's like a NASCAR.
Wait, when you're just out to a casual lunch with him?
He's got his people with him.
Are you kidding?
Totally.
So you guys are sharing an Eggs Benedict and someone's coming over and being like, shh, shh, shh.
No. They would do it like on the way over to the table or when he was in studio as he was walking out. Yeah, he's got like a team of people.
Oh my God.
Do you know that dude at one point or another like owned Rodeo Drive in Los Angeles?
He owned it?
He owned Rodeo Drive. He's so rich.
Yeah.
He's
stupid. I mean, he is Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
I just wasn't aware that was something you could purchase. Like, where do you go? Craigslist and be like, hey.
Look at I don't think you can do it on Craigslist.
You go to Vrbo.
But he confirmed it because I think I asked him this on the radio and he confirmed it. He owned a lot of that property on Rodeo Drive.
That's insane. Yeah.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Oh, Lord. It's been a while since we did a War of the Roses, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has been.
For those that don't know, what is War of the Roses, Kristen?
It's part of our To Catch a Cheater series where we have a digital floral service. It isn't real. We don't actually send the flowers. I found out years ago and was very disappointed. you hit us up and you think that there is somebody who is committing infidelity. And we send them an email like, hey, new florist in town. Would you like a free bouquet? And it's trying to hook them into ordering a free bouquet, sending the flowers. And then whoever they send the flowers to will determine if they are or are not faithful.
You're cold busted. Cold busted if you send them to somebody else. Janine needs us to act fast on this one because there's a wedding going down this weekend that she may be breaking up.
A proposal.
Proposal this weekend. Hey, Janine.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you today?
I'm okay.
All right. Who are you trying to bust here?
So my sister's boyfriend. I have this gut feeling. So he had a really serious relationship before dating my sister. And it was like 5 years. They lived together. They had the dog, talked about it getting engaged, like all that stuff. And, you know, a few months ago, my sister found text exchanges between the two of them. And it was like nothing scandalous, nothing out of character or anything. But the sheer fact that he was texting with his ex and hiding it from her.
Oh, yeah.
That did not go over well. And since then, he promised to never contact her again. Like I said, like my gut just says he's still in contact. And the thing was, is also she was the one that broke it off with him. He didn't want it to end. He didn't want to break up. And he really fought to stay together with her. So I don't know. She just didn't think it was that. But I just want to see if we can catch him. My gut is telling me he's not doing the right thing. He's not honoring his promise.
Well, that is a major red flag right there.
Mm-hmm.
Major, the hiding with the ex, text messages with an ex. Yeah. So what,
yeah.
What makes you think it's still going on now if that was in the past?
I don't know. They've been together. My sister and him have been together like 2 years now, and it's serious. And he's close with my family, spends holidays with us. But the proposal's coming this weekend, and something just keeps gnawing at me. I just have this feeling. I feel like, I don't know. You know when you just feel it in your bones? I just feel it.
I mean, I understand from your standpoint, because like when your friends or sibling date somebody and they do them wrong, they are forever on the S list. Like your sister, like you know your sister or your brother or your friends can forgive them, but we have a harder time doing it because we don't have that depth of love for the person. So they have more. They have more forgiveness than we do. So I get that. So anybody that's ever wronged my brother, I'm like, you are forever on my S list. Whereas he has more. So I understand when you found out that he was sending text messages to his ex behind your sister's back, he's going to have a really hard time getting off your S list. Is there anything else besides that? Because you said he promised he would never communicate with her again. Is there anything besides that that would lead you to believe he is still contacting the ex?
Just that he was hiding it during that time. That really, it sticks with me. When somebody can hide something, it scares me. What else could they hide? And I just don't know.
How do you know the proposal is coming this weekend?
He talked to the whole family about it. I don't hate the guy. But I just want to make sure it's to my sister. And if it's coming this weekend, if she's going to be happy and say yes, and that's it. I want to make sure that's it. You know, that it's really just her.
All right. Janine, hang out for just 1 second while we talk about you.
All right.
Cassie, grab a mic. Is this overstepping a sister's boundary?
I don't think so.
No?
No. I mean, your sister's not going to be happy about it if she finds out, but sisters can get away with more than friends. Any sibling, honestly, can get away with more than what just even a bestie could get away with. Because at the end of the day, you know your sister's heart is in the right place as long as y'all have a good relationship before this.
Haven't we seen stuff like this backfire, though? Like, maybe Janine's heart is in the right place, but let's say dude is doing something shady and then sister turns on Janine.
Yeah, well, sometimes women can see that as, well, you're just jealous, so you were trying to find some way to sabotage this. Mm-hmm. So how do you think your sister would react? Like, let's say we do get proof that something skeezy is going down. If you bring this to your sister, how do you anticipate her reacting to the news?
I think there would be multiple layers to it. I mean, I think she'd be really pissed because she'd be totally shocked that she had no idea what I was thinking or doing. So I think she'd be shocked and she'd be pissed. But knowing my sister, I hope nothing. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But if I'm not, my sister would get over it, and she would appreciate that I had her back. It may take time, but I think she would.
All right. So there would be, I mean, we are sort of putting the cart before the horse. Is that how that goes?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
That cliche? Mm-hmm. But if he was messing around, there would be in such a blowout about it that there would be no proposal this weekend. So we would have that going for us. Right?
I really hope it's not the case. I really, you know.
I understand you wanting to, listening to you, this sounds like you have your sister's best interest at heart, right? Like you're
definitely do.
You're genuine, Janine, that's trying to look out for your sister. It's one of those fine lines. It's like, is this meddling or is this not meddling? Or is this being protective or is this being controlling? I'm having a hard time like figuring out like what side of the fence I'm on.
All right. So Janine, we did do the work for you. Sent the flowers.
Okay.
We got some results for you. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. Hang out a couple of minutes and we'll tell you exactly what did.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So Burt Show War of the Roses next.
Hey, The Burt Show.
We've got ourselves a bit of a situation here now, don't we, with War of the Roses?
Shocker.
Shocker. You want to explain what's going on with Janine?
Yes. So Janine hit us up. She thinks her sister's boyfriend, who is about to become her fiance because he plans on proposing to her sister this weekend, she thinks he is still communicating with his ex. And we tried to ask her to give, you know, specifics, and she can't. However, a couple of months ago, her sister did catch him having text communication with the ex on his phone. And he promised her, I will never contact her again. Because this was a very serious relationship right before theirs. They were together 5 years, talked engagement, lived together, had the pet, the whole nine yards. She was the one that broke up with him. And he did not want it to happen and had to accept it, moved on, is dating her sister. And she's like, this dude's going to propose this weekend, but I swear something is off. I still think he's communicating with the ex.
All right, so Janine, you wanted us to do a War of the Roses where we offer up a free set of flowers and we're going to see who he turns around and he sends them to, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, please.
Who wants to take it from here?
All right, Janine, I have the email here in front of me. You hit us up. You gave us your sister's boyfriend email. So we sent him a fake promotional email and, you know, we're calling him your sister's boyfriend, but it's also her potentially future fiance as he's supposed to propose this weekend. So,
yeah.
So in this email, we pretended to be a fake floral company, offered him a free bouquet of flowers. He's able to choose from several options with pictures in exchange. Hey, share some promo codes for percentage off an order, bring it to family. Try to make it seem as legit as possible. His options from our fake floral company, you have the classic. Timeless, romantic, and guaranteed to make you look like you know what you're doing in the relationship department. Features only the finest red roses.
Oh, he knows what he's doing, all right.
Side effects include high expectations. Your next option. So we have like the two dozen red roses. Then we have Midnight Passion, a bold and sultry arrangement of deep red roses, burgundy dahlias, and black calla lilies, accented with dark greenery. Perfect for an intense secretive romance.
Wow, that sounds like something he would send to the mistress.
And then the next one.
My stomach just hurt, yeah.
The next one. Let's see if I can do it properly.
Okay.
I had fun with this because it might be our last War of the Roses.
Sure.
Daisy me rolling.
Stop.
They're going to take us off the air, Kristen.
Is it possible to push the date up?
Wait, slow clap.
Daisy me rolling. They hating.
So glad you got that, Gracie, before this.
They're going to take it back.
Does it come in like one of those mini Escalades?
Yes. Just swoop in, grab my award, and zoom off. All right. Daisy be rolling. Bright daisies and cheerful sunflowers. Fun, flirty, and impossible to take too seriously. And then the last option, Wild Desire. A vibrant explosion of exotic orchids, fiery orange tulips, deep purple irises, symbolizing passion, adventure, and an untamed connection. All right, we sent him the first email at 9:57 a.m. yesterday. And lo and behold, did not have to send a follow-up because the man likes a deal. We did receive a response. We did receive a response and an order from him at 12:14 p.m. yesterday. And he chose Wild Desire.
Finger
what?
Drum.
A vibrant explosion of exotic orchids, fiery orange tulips, and deep purple irises, symbolizing passion, adventure, and an untamed connection.
It's almost like he has some slooping around on his mind.
So, Janine, he set delivery for tomorrow to a work address. He's okay. He is not sending them to your sister. Your gut was right, girl. He's sending them to the ex.
Oh, my God. What a man-ho.
And the note on the card said, you will always hold a special place in my heart.
Oh no. That's the breakup. That's the breakup card.
A special place in his heart and his pants.
Yep. So that's not happening.
All right. So now, Janine, the big question is, what are you doing with this information? Yeah. How are you breaking this news to your sister?
And again, I know your heart's in the right place, but we've seen this happen a million times where your heart's in the right place, your sister's not ready to hear this, and she turns around somehow, some way, and puts it on you.
Guys, wow, this sucks. I was really hoping I was wrong.
Yeah.
So, wow, the thought of having to tell her this is awful.
I know.
You sound really shaken up.
Yeah, that's going to suck.
Yeah, that's like, even if she's mad at me, that's fine. I feel so bad to have to do this to her.
I know you do. I know you do. This situation sucks. But she needs to know this before.
No, she does. That's why. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is a profile for a dude that for sure, no matter what, is going to cheat on her.
I mean, what? How are you getting engaged this weekend? And you're sending that to your ex. Like, how do you hold those two things in your head at the same time? Like, I don't even understand that.
It's weird how some people can justify their own behaviors in their head.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would not honestly be able to live with myself knowing this and right? not bringing it up to my sister or my brother. I couldn't live with myself. Oh, so even if she gets pissed at you, you did the right thing.
Exactly.
Thank you, guys. Oh, man, I hope she thinks so. Thank you guys so much. At least now I know.
Yes. And hopefully you can deliver the news as only a sister can.
Yeah, like very, that's the thing.
Very tactfully, very lovingly. And
I love her so much. Like she's going to understand that, even if not right away. She's going to understand that.
Yeah. And if I were you, I would sit on it for a couple of hours. Emotions are super high right now. And if you send something, you might not word it correctly. So sit on it for a couple of hours or this afternoon or tonight. And that's what I think. Yes. Or meet her for dinner. Maybe do a face to face.
I feel like I have to talk to her. Maybe I'll ask her to come over for dinner or something.
This ain't a text.
Yeah.
This is a...
No. And I don't want to be out with her. I feel like having her over, that way,
How about a singing telegram? You don't have to do it at all.
Oh, God.
It's almost the holiday season. You could do one of those little, like, elf yourself ones. Yeah, and you'd be like, your boyfriend is cheating on you.
So on top of it.
If that was liking a message, sure, let's do that.
Or... if you really don't want to take a fire for setting this up, because that is going to be the main thing is she will probably come at you first for even doing this. So we don't send the flowers, but get a similar bouquet and have it sent to her and make him think he put the wrong address in. So put the ex's name, the exact note, and let your sister receive the flowers, and then you're there to help with the fallout.
But could that note be construed as he always believes that they will have a connection because they're getting engaged?
Not if she adds the ex's name.
or this is crazy. Handle it like an adult and just talk to your sister.
Oh, you mean by calling a radio station and getting one to send fake flowers?
Yeah, what is she going to do? Send her the podcast clip and be like, hey, this crazy thing I did to prove that your boyfriend was cheating on you. Hope you understand.
Yeah. It's a fresh start right now. Why are you talking about the past?
All right? Dude, just send the flowers because then you got the evidence.
All right, Jeannie, we'll let you go. Please keep us in touch and after you talk to your sister so we know what went down, okay?
Okay, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
All right, good luck. Bye-bye. The Burt Show.